over there, you can choose to practice tempo. So it automatically increases the tempo of a certain amount that you can set at every repeat of the song. So let's say you're learning a tricky song or a tricky passage. You can either loop that passage, you know, select a few measures and just play those, or play the whole song and you set it maybe to 20 repeats. And you set a slow tempo to begin with. And with this practice tempo enabled, like, you can increase maybe by 5 BPM at every repeat.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
G'day everyone, it's great to be back with you again for another chat with an inspirational teacher, music educator, and in this case, an app developer from somewhere around the world. This is episode 97 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. And if you're one of my Inner Circle members, a special welcome to you. My name is Tim Topham, and I'm the host of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, which is the place where you can get weekly inspiration, ideas, and teaching strategies to help you be the best piano teacher that you can be. Today's show notes and full transcript, as usual, are available at timtopham.com/episode97. Today's podcast is all about an app that I can't get enough of, use daily in my studio, and tell as many people about as I possibly can. It's, of course, called iReel Pro. It's a very cool backing track app that's available on all platforms. And we're going to talk a lot more about how it works and how it came to be, because my guest today is someone that knows it better than anyone else. My guest is a bass player, a composer with parallel interests in music and technology, and as I said, developer of one of my favorite music teaching apps. He developed his own musical voice while negotiating the cultural seesaw of a Swedish-Italian childhood. His early influences range from symphonic rock to Pat Metheny and Dave Holland, all who've contributed to his strikingly original blend of extended compositions, unusual time signatures, and a lyrical melodic style. My guest studied at Boston's Berklee College of Music and Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz at the University of Southern California after being handpicked by no less than Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter, names that will be well known to many piano teachers. He performs today with Lionel Lueke Trio, well known for a unique texture of sound, neatly blending African and European sources into a winning hybrid. Lionel Lueke, of course, is Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea's guitarist. So welcome to the show today, Massimo. How are you going?
Hi, thank you very much. I'm doing great. Good to be here.
Now, I'm having a bit of a fan moment because literally your app is one of the most used and most talked about in my community and on my blog. It's a fantastic resource for teachers. So to have you here and find out a little bit about the background is very, very special. So I do appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you. No, I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your background as a musician. I understand that you're a bass player, actually.
Yes. I've been playing upright bass for about 25 years now, and mostly jazz and a bunch of world music. I'm always fascinated by the different sounds of the planet. So, yeah, I've been doing that for a while now.
And are you still touring around the world?
A bit less now that I'm working on my software, but yeah, I toured a lot. And since the app became more successful, I've been able to cut down on such tours that I didn't enjoy much the music. And so now I'm mostly playing with Lionel and a few other bands that I really enjoy.
And it sounds like, I haven't heard Lionel's music, it sounds like it's got very, very cool rhythmic structures and sort of African textures. That's right?
Yeah, that's right. We like to play with rhythms and odd time signatures. And Lionel Lueke, he was a percussionist to begin with, so his sense of rhythm is really deep. He even plays the guitar, sometimes hitting it and making percussive sounds. So yeah, the music is very rhythm based.
Fantastic. You'll have to tell us at the end where we can go to have a listen to some of your work. But what does your week look like these days? Split between whether you're doing any performing or are you, you know, stuck at a computer programming things, or have you got a team of people? What's your role look like at the moment?
So when I'm touring, I try to find a bit of a routine here where I practice music in the morning, my bass and a little bit of piano, and try to write a little bit of music. And then in the afternoon, I code and work on the app. And at night, if I'm not playing, I usually play in the city maybe once a week, you know, a few times a month, with a few bands when I'm not traveling. And then other than that, just hang out with my girlfriend or some social gatherings, you know, enjoying New York City, which has lots to offer, you know.
And I've just heard that your girlfriend is from Perth here in Western Australia. Does she live over in the States now, or are you having a long distance kind of relationship?
Oh yeah, no. She lives here now since 5 years. So
okay.
Yeah, that would be too far.
Yeah, that's right. That's a long way. Look, for those who aren't familiar with iReal Pro, which is the name of the app that you've developed, can you give us a rundown of what it does?
So in my mind, it does mainly two things. It is a way to collect chord charts, no music notation, but just chords to standards and famous songs. And you can edit them and collect them in playlists and easily transpose the charts. So a reading tool for chord charts. And the other main function is the backing track. So based on all of these chord charts, which you can edit and write your own chords, the app can generate backing tracks in, I don't know how many styles we have now, 30, 40 different styles, ranging from jazz to Latin, pop, funk, all kinds of different styles. So it's a practice tool in that way. So you can at home have a virtual band and you can play the same song over and over rather than, you know, bothering your bandmates. Can we play that one more time? You just practice at home. And when you show up at the rehearsal, you have played the songs many, many times. So you can be more confident.
And I've loved using it for those two reasons. One, I'm a big fan of pop recitals. So I've recently written a series of posts about how to take your students learning pop style music out of your traditional classical recital and give them their own one is great fun, and put them with a band, put them with a bass player, a drummer, and a guitarist. If people are interested in how I've done that, I've written a couple of posts recently about it. You can easily find it. Search for Pop Showcase on the blog. And one of the great ways of preparing students for this playing with a band experience is to get them playing along to something. They need to get used to staying in time, right? And counting in and all that kind of stuff. So that's been one great use that I use your app for. The other one is for students who are learning pop music, because just generally in lessons, whether they're going to perform it or not, because we all know that one of the things that makes pop pop is often very repetitive chord progression. So having the band that you can play along with, or that can do some of the work for you so you can then sing over the top or play the melody instead of having to play all the music, can be really great. So that aligns really, really closely with what I use it for. So you've hit the nail on the head with this app. You got to tell us, what's with the weird name? And it's had a few different names, right?
Yeah. So real books are in jazz. We have this huge body of evergreen songs, the jazz standards, as they call them. And the famous book that was written in the 70s at Berklee College of Music, it's called The Real Book, which was a collection of maybe 350 or so jazz standards. So that was The Real Book.
Was at Berklee, was it? I didn't know that.
I was at Berklee College of Music, yeah. There you go. I think Steve Swallow and a couple of other people wrote it together. That's why you see so many Steve Swallow songs in
And that was the first time they'd actually gone and written these out. And it was kind of handwritten. It was very rough, wasn't it?
It was handwritten, was transcribed. There were many mistakes, and there were songs that were maybe popular during those years but that never really became actual standards later. So it's a bit mix and match, or some of the standards, that's how they were playing them in Boston or in school, it's kind of regional. Some places, you know, you go to Chicago or LA, they might play the standards in a different way. So it was kind of a snapshot of what was happening in the 70s in Berklee College of Music. But it became kind of the Bible and it traveled the world. I had it when I was studying at 16. I found a photocopied version of it back in Italy. So those standards became what everybody played around the planet. And then volume 2, volume 3 came. And so when I first made the app, it was basically just the chord changes. There was no backing track to begin with.
So it was a music, a chord reading. It was like the real book on an iPad.
Exactly, exactly. But just there was no iPad in 2008 when I started in 2009. It's just the iPhone, the very small one. So going back to why I did the app here, here's the reason. I saw the iPhone, so I was like, this is a great opportunity to bring chord charts with me. So at first I tried to make PDFs of all of these songs and put them on the iPhone in the photo app, but it was too small to read. There's no way. And as a bass player, I just needed the chords, really. So that's when I came up with the idea of making this app. But going back to the name, so I called it iReal Book initially as a clear reference to the real book, and this is the digital version, like iPhone, iReal Book. That was the initial thing. What happened then is that I had checked with lawyers about the legality of this, of including all of these chord charts, and they had said, yeah, you're just using chord changes. There's a million songs written with 1, 4, 5. You cannot copyright just a chord progression. But nevertheless, the Gershwin Foundation contacted Apple to say that I was infringing on their copyright material. And so Apple immediately freaked out. They don't like to deal with any kind of legal issue. So, and I talked to my lawyer, and he said, well, you would definitely win if you went to court. But in the meantime, your app would be out of the App Store for months. And it will cost you thousands of dollars. And even if you win and you get back in the App Store, somebody else might do the same claim, and you have to go back to court. So I decided to remove all the chord charts from the app itself. And then once you download the app, you go to the forums or this website and you just download the app. So the app itself doesn't have the charts. You just got there's a two-step thing. You download the app and then you download all the charts. So
very interesting.
Right. So the charts are not within the app. They reside on my personal server. So if somebody wants to sue anybody, they have to come directly to me. But nobody's actually ever reached out on that. So then when with all of that, and I started at the same time, I added the player. So it was not a book anymore. So I wanted to get away from this iReal Book. It added functionalities. And so then
and that's when it became iReal Pro.
Yeah.
Which is where it is today. I love hearing these background stories. They're absolutely fascinating. And I can only imagine how your heart would have sank to have received the email or whatever it was from Apple.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah, really, really bad. Particularly given that you'd gone to the trouble of checking with a lawyer to make sure you were going to be doing the right thing. You said that it was the Gershwin Foundation. So there was a piece of, mm-hmm. there was a chord chart and Gershwin's in there and that's what they took issue with.
Yeah, they were saying I got rhythm, which is, I mean,
it's in every room,
a million songs based on those changes. So it was totally out of the.
Right. But look, I mean, you've ended up very cleverly with the same functionality, but a two-step process. So for those who haven't used this app, you download the app and it gives you the player and the ability to add all the chord charts. And then with a couple of clicks, you jump into the forums, which is where all the chord charts and, you know, you've got 1,500 pop songs, one click and they're all loaded and 1,700 jazz standards. So it doesn't take too long to grab everything that you need. And as you say, you can add your own in any case. I wrote down a question before. You're giving me a bit of history of jazz here. What did people do before the real book was ever first written? Was it all just passed down oral tradition.
Yeah, you had to learn. You had to learn by ear, basically. Put that LP on your turntable and move the needle back and listen. Try to figure out. Or if you were lucky, you play in a band and you would learn on the bandstand. The band leader would yell out the chord changes and you try to remember it, or the piano player is showing you. A lot of it was
oral tradition
that we learned. Yeah. Which is it's interesting that you bring out that question, because I've had some pushback from some people saying that the fact that now that we have this iReal Pro app, kids are not learning memorizing songs anymore because it's just easy to read them from your iPad. But I mean, we've had the real books are here since the 70s, so that's it's no different than reading from the real book. And it's up to the student to, when you want to go to the next level in your musicianship, to memorize the music and you know.
Yeah, and in fact, you've got less information in the app than in a real book, because there is no melody line, right?
Right. You have to know the melody, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good point.
So who was the app designed for originally? Who did you see using it?
Myself.
You wrote it for yourself?
I really made it for myself, because I was always playing a lot of original music. With Lionel Oeck, we were playing a lot of original music. So when I was off the touring, coming back to New York City, people would call me, oh, do you want to play a gig? Just show up and play some standards. And, you know, I hadn't played maybe standards for 6 months. So, you know, I didn't remember all the songs. So I needed that real book. But bring three real books and you're carrying a big upright bass, it's too much. So you basically have to have them memorized. And if you don't play them all the time, you kind of forget them. So I wanted a little refresher. So my idea was that if I could just take a little peek, I would remember, the B section goes to so-and-so, and then I can play just a little mind refresh of the song. So that's when I started working on this app, and I taught myself how to program for iOS. This was 2008 in the summer, and the very first iOS SDK, actually it was called iPhone SDK, came out at that point. The App Store was just born.
That's SDK, Software Development Kit, right? That's the programming language for the app?
Yep.
Yeah. And so it sounds like you have always loved technology from a child. And so there was coding in you, that kind of programming headspace, but you hadn't coded for an Apple app, as no one had, because it was new almost, right?
No, yeah. I had a Commodore 64 when I was 10 years old, one of those old home computers. Yeah, and I did a little programming there, but then I got into music and that kind of went out of the window. And until I made, in maybe late 90s, I did some website design, but never coding. And then in 2008, I picked up a book and taught myself Objective-C, which is the language used to develop for iOS.
Wow. Yeah, I can beat you with that, because my dad, I remember, brought home one of the first Osborne portable computers. I don't know if you remember these. Might have been beyond time. So
That's even before.
This is when Compaq started trying to beat the IBM to the first portable computer. And it had a tiny little screen. And I remember programming this I made a screensaver in it. I could still picture it. It had these like lines which would just fall down the screen. It would kind of scroll up. And I thought I was very, very clever. Interestingly enough, I've always had that kind of tech brain, but I've never been a programmer. I know some only very basic stuff. I'm happy to hire other people to get in that headspace.
I really enjoy the programming, because it's so different from music. But at the same time, it's very creative in the same manner. You're solving problem as when you compose a song, you work it out, try, oh, maybe I should go to this section, we modulate, blah, blah, blah. You work it, you know, you spend days on it. And the same when I'm coding, I write something, and I move stuff and I think about it. Next morning, I wake up and the idea is there. So it's, exciting like that.
It would be very satisfying, I imagine, seeing the product when it's finished and knowing that people are using it too, of course.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge satisfaction.
Do you have a team of people helping you now? I mean, the thing's getting pretty big and popular, or are you still a one-man show?
I have an assistant. She answers all the support email. She helps me with translation, screenshot for all the marketing, you know, all in the app store, all the descriptions and all of that stuff. Yeah, accounting, all of that.
The admin stuff.
All of the business side. Yeah, admin, all of the admin, exactly. So, and so I can focus on coding.
Yeah. And so are you coding at the moment? Are you working on the next version?
Yes. I've been working now for 1 year on a huge update. So
So can you give...
It's been over a year since the last...
Can you give audience a little sneak peek?
It's already public beta, so some people know about it. It's for iOS and Mac, I've added the sync, iCloud syncing of all of the playlist and charts. So
that's awesome. I've been looking forward to that one.
So you might be on your iPad or on the Mac and you edit the charts on the Mac. It's easier and faster, so you can quickly do your chart and then it syncs over. You have it on your iPad when you show up at the gig, and it just stays in sync, all of that.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, but it was... Sync is a hard problem, as you might have... I don't know if you use iPhone with iCloud or stuff like that, but we've had all our stuff disappear or weird things, and it was a hard problem to solve. Yeah, it was harder than actually making the rest of the app.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I would have thought that, seeing as every app these days seems to sync, that it would be a standard, here's how you get apps to sync. And, you could almost copy that code from somewhere else, but perhaps specific.
That's what I thought when I started looking into it. But then there are so many problems. If you just think of, let's say I edit my chart, but my iPad is not connected to the internet and I start editing the chart there as well. What happened when two different charts that both have been edited, which one is the latest version, which one wins? And now what if we're talking about whole playlists with hundreds of songs in them, which one gets... So it's it can get very complicated pretty quickly.
There you go. Dropbox and people like that make it look incredibly easy because they've got millions of venture capital, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have huge teams of programmers.
Now, one of my members actually alerted me to the fact that you had a Mac version. I didn't even realize that. Has that been around for a while?
Yeah, probably a couple of years after maybe 2011 or 2012.
Right. Okay. So this isn't for PC. This is just for users with a Mac, like a MacBook Pro or a Mac laptop kind of thing, or Mac desktop. So you can edit your charts and whatever on there. And when this new software update comes out, that will automatically sync to your iPad and your phone and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Fantastic. I would imagine that. I mean, one thing I struggle to remember how to do quite often is to edit on iPad the chord charts, and it is time consuming. And so to know that you could do that on the Mac, that's a great thing.
Right. Yeah. And of course, there is the Android version, which I also made, I think also around 2013 or something like that, which has all of the same functionality.
Yeah.
And the other big feature coming with this big update is blues styles. I created 12 new blues styles specifically, from very old-fashioned blues to modern, more funk rock blues. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people will enjoy that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great news. Oh, fantastic. So let's talk about those styles. I've got the app here with me, and I mean, literally the number of backing styles is crazy. My kids love glam funk, by the way, which is part of the pop style. I just think it's funny. And disco always gets a good workout. So you've got jazz styles, and we've got 12 eights and swing and not swing, shuffles, all those kinds of things. We've got a whole lot of Latin. And the Latin, I think, is great because one of the things I love teaching my students about is the impact of the groove, and particularly left hand, what the left hand does on a piano to completely change the style. And so, having this 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2, 1-2-3, 1-2, and simple changes like that, which is still 4-4, can have a huge effect on the style of the piece. So I love using your app to explore some of those, because, of course, once you've got the chord chart in there, it's one click and you can hear what it sounds like as a samba or a bolero or a Montuno or a tango.
Right.
So I totally love that. How on earth do these work without going into too much tech detail? How do these backing tracks all work in the different keys at different speeds? It blows my mind.
That was a lot of work. So let's say there are separate tracks, drums, piano, and bass. So let's say, for example, the piano track. So what I do first, I read the chord chart. Well, I say I mean the app reads the chord charts and separates it in measures. And then within the measure, you might have one or more chords. So a chord can have a length of 4 beats or 3 beats or 2 beats or 1 beat, right? So with different lengths of chords. So I created rhythmical pattern for the piano of this different length, 1, 2, 3, and 4 beats. Then you have the voicing. So given the chord symbol, I have a huge database of different voicings. So I match a rhythm with a voicing, and the rhythm can be just simple hits like that or arpeggios, or like in the case of the Latin, you have the specific Montuno patterns. Yeah, you combine those two things and then you just attach them one to the other, so you have the whole piano part like that.
It's phenomenal.
So it's all MIDI.
It's all MIDI based. So it's kind of like the app it's got this massive database of styles, voicings, lengths, durations, chords, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it just goes magically bang and creates it. That is phenomenal.
Assembles each time a different track. So if you listen to the jazz style, the way jazz music is played is very organic, right? It never sounds the same. The drummer plays very in pattern. The piano player is comping. It's always changing. So I try to add that sense of human organic playing in my style. So if you press play the second time, it's going to sound different. And each repeat is going to sound a little different. And so those are also little details that I wanted to, because we're very sensitive to repetition, and once you start hearing the same thing over and over, it can become annoying if you're expecting it not to be the same, right? For a jazz tune, you don't want it to sound exactly the same, otherwise it sounds like an arrangement. So with enough variation, you cannot perceive a pattern, so it sounds improvised.
Okay. I had no idea that every time. So if you play a chord chart and then stop it at any point and then restart it without changing anything, it will sound slightly different.
Slightly different. More in the jazz styles. The pop styles, the patterns are more rigid, right?
Right.
You don't want too much variation, because otherwise it loses that particular feel, right?
Yeah.
So more in the jazz styles and those bossa novas and the swing.
Wow, that's phenomenal. I had no idea. I'm actually going to go and listen to this now and actually see if I can pick it out.
Okay.
It sounds like the app actually works a little bit like CSS or sites on the web that use databases. Mm-hmm. So my website, for people that have been on it, every page starts with a blank and the software just kind of pulls all the information from all the different bits and goes, here you go. This is
that's
how
right.
the website looks. So it sounds like it's kind of the similar. I can't imagine how long it took you to complete, add all that database information. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it took a long time.
And did you actually record instruments in? So is that a drummer on an app, you know, some other software, or is it live? How did that work?
No, that's I go into Logic and I drop in. I have a specific sound font that I've created that is compact, because when I made the app, it was on iPhone 1.
Yeah.
So we had basically no memory available. So I had to make everything very compact and very small. So I made a custom sound font with piano sound and then some drum sounds and bass, you know, a certain number of sounds. And I dropped that sound bank into Logic, and then I manually assemble a drum groove, like cymbal hits and bass drums and snare hits, and then I cut it out in 4-bar phrases, 3-bar phrases, the same thing, and all of that. So, and then they get assembled.
I'm kind of speechless about how, you know, this thing that I just take for granted and is such a handy tool in my studio, how much work you've put into it. It's phenomenal.
Right, yeah.
Have you been surprised at how popular it's been?
Yeah, every morning when I wake up, I'm surprised that it's still... From the first day, I did no marketing to begin with, and immediately the app started selling. So I was like, oh, I should put some more effort into this. This seems, you know, to be doing well.
Yeah.
And it's been doing great for now for, what is it, 8 years? And there are always new students. And it's mostly by word of mouth, you know, people playing bands and they show it to each other. Teachers, like in your case, always recommend it to their students. So I haven't done much promotion or marketing because it's a very niche product, right? You have to be so it's not that I can make a TV ad or something like that. It has to be. So word of mouth has been, I've been lucky with that.
Well, that's the best way. It's free and it's right. Meaningful. So that's great.
It's meaningful, right. And somebody tells you, you listen, yeah.
So I've mentioned a couple of ways that I use this in my studio. Have you found out about other ways that teachers are using your app?
From what we hear from teachers, they often make playlists for their students of a few maybe songs or practice charts with some basic chord progressions. And they have this playlist and they can email it to their students. So that's very convenient. You can send songs via email or like that. And another thing that I've heard a lot of people do is use it for when they teach via Skype, because they want to hear how the student is progressing while playing with a band. So they can just tell the students, turn on this track and this key at this tempo and play along or improvise or sing this song. And then they can give feedback, because in a traditional setting, you would be accompanying maybe your student and then give feedback. But now we can teach via Skype. So this makes it much more easier.
Mm. And yeah. The exporting function, I think, is very useful. For example, mm-hmm. I love doing 12-bar blues stuff with my students. Mm-hmm. And rather than expect them all to get your app straight up, particularly if they're just a new student, I'll export the audio. So this is the other cool thing you can do. So I've got the 12-bar blues in there. With a couple of clicks, you could share the chord chart, as you said, with another user of iReal Pro. Mm-hmm. You could export the audio. You can add it to playlists. You can do all those kinds of things. But I think just being able to export that to a WAV file and then share that over email, bang, you've got a backing track. And you don't have to record that and share it again. Put it on Dropbox.
Right.
Send other people the link to it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So.
And with this new release, exporting audio is going to be super fast as well, because as of now you have to do it it's in real time, right? But now I've improved the audio engine, so it's going to be 10x or something like that. So
oh, really?
When you export
go quite slowly across the screen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. What else? Okay, come on, have you got any other little secrets that are coming out?
They're coming out. You will be able to change the tempo during playback. I think that would be nice.
Like, that will be very useful, yes.
Right, because you're like, oh, this is too slow, but you don't want to start over, and you can find a new tempo. What else? There's a long list of small
fixes. Are you changing user interface?
Not much, just small details, clean up. Yeah, last time I did it, a lot of people kind of freaked out, so I realized that people don't like change, so... From now on, when I do want to change the user interface, I'm going to do it stepwise, like a few things here and there, so people don't get scared. You know, the last time I did the huge user interface change, it was very radical. So, yeah.
Yeah.
People didn't find the play button.
Yes.
The incremental is better than, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it works, right?
Especially since so many people use it in their professional environment now. I don't want to disrupt their workflows and all of that. So I have to think about that now that, you know, I can't do exactly what I want because so many people use it in a professional environment that I have to be respectful of that.
Yeah, and if someone's rocking up at a gig and opens it up, it's been updated and they can't find the play button, there's the problem, right?
Right, right. That's the problem, yeah.
Exactly. And so look, I'm keen to grab a couple of tricks from you that teachers might not know that your app could do, or an easy way to do something on your app. Have you got any things that I've used it for a while, but I'm sure there's plenty in there that I don't know about? Give us some tricks.
Specifically for teaching, there's a couple of features. They are in the player controls under the, there's a little graduation hat.
Yeah.
And over there, you can choose to practice tempo. So it automatically increases the tempo of a certain amount that you can set at every repeat of the song. So let's say you're learning a tricky song or a tricky passage. You can either loop that passage, you know, select a few measures and just play those, or play the whole song and you set it maybe to 20 repeats, and you set a slow tempo to begin with. And with this practice tempo enabled, like, you can increase maybe by 5 BPM at every repeat.
So that's
so
this,
you slowly,
this little, so the symbol is in the bottom, yep, left, and it looks like a graduation cap. I've never even clicked on it.
There you go. So you can practice increasing the tempo in that way. So it slowly goes faster at every repeat, maybe 5 or 10 BPM faster. And in the same screen, you will also see transposition. So with this one, when you're trying to learn something, some very common chord progression, like a 2-5-1 or 1-4-5, something like that, you can set it to transpose up by a half step, down a half step, or up a fifth at every repeat. So you get to go through all 12 keys.
Wow.
So that's very useful.
That's very cool. Very cool. Nice. Yeah. Nice. That's a really nice trick. I'm looking at it right now. As you talk about it, I'm playing with it. It's something I had no idea existed. There you go.
Yeah.
And look, I was introduced to using iReal Pro for drills, chord drills and things like that with students, mm-hmm, by my good friend Bradley Sowash, who I know will be listening, mm-hmm, to this because he's a huge fan as well. And I'm just thinking, yeah, we get students to do drills around the piano in chord, different chord positions, that sort of thing. So to be able to then speed it up incrementally, that's a pretty cool trick. Nice work.
Yeah, it's very useful.
There you go.
And you know about looping different sections?
You know, I knew it could do it, but I haven't tried it. So show me. I know how to select a section.
Yeah. So if you just tap and hold one of the measures, it's going to get selected. And then you have the little dots and you can drag a specific section.
And it looks like a yellow highlighter has gone across the bars effectively, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a little like a button that says loop, and you press that and it's going to keep playing those few measures that you've selected over and over. So often a song has a particular section that it's more problematic. So, you know, with this system, you can focus on that rather than playing the whole song over and over when really you need to practice just one section.
Wow. Nice. I'm going to have to add these little trick explanations to the videos that I've got in my members area. So I've got a number of videos on iReal Pro, pretty much screencasts over the shoulder looking at me using the app. So I'll have to add those to our little database.
I've seen a couple of they're very well made, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great to know. Any other ones? I'm getting really excited now.
there is now a built-in recording function.
Right.
So if you go to the top right button, the share button, you can now record. So if you plug in headphones like these, the Apple headphones with a little microphone, you can listen to the track and record yourself singing or maybe playing the saxophone or playing the piano. So then you can send it to your teacher. This is what I did. What do you think? There's use for that. Yeah, you can set the level of the microphone. And so you record yourself playing along the track.
So the track will come through your headphones and the app will record your playing, which will be silent.
Yeah,
but it will
and
just
then
be
mix
you.
It together.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then mix it together. So you get the final track with both the track and yourself playing or singing.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to do some more exploring. Wow, very cool. Very cool. All right, this is great. Well, look, that has been such an awesome overview. I've loved hearing the story of how this came about. Thank you so much on behalf of all the teachers and musicians around the world using this app for all the time you've put into it. It's worth every dollar that it costs. And I cannot believe the effort that's gone into it. Just amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a journey, yes.
I bet it has. And I'm really glad that you're pursuing with it. You're continuing to update it because I've heard from app developers that every time Apple updates things, things tend to break and you've got to redevelop things. So thanks for hanging in there. Thank you also on behalf of all the tablet and Android owners who often whinge and moan at me for only talking about iPad things. here's a brilliant app that you can get on Android and it works fantastically well. So for those in my inner circle, in the resource library, I've got a number of tech videos on how to use iReal Pro. And I've also got live workshop videos of me using it with students and teachers for scale practice, chord drills, all that kind of stuff. So head into your members area if you're interested in that. And Massimo, we should find out a little bit more about where to go. So people can find this in either the Android store or the App Store.
Yep.
And to find out about you, you can head to Massimo, your website.
MassimoBiolcati.com.
Massimo Biolcati, so BIOLCATI.com. And what about where to find... Have you got some YouTubes of you playing and what your band does or a website for that?
Oh, yeah. There's actually, if you just put my name into YouTube, there's going a lot of music stuff is going to pop up. So that would probably be the easiest. Yeah.
All right. I'll make sure I check them out. I'm going to play with some of those new tricks as well today. Thanks again. Thanks again for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon Piano Podcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.